Narayana namaste chanurunte gunurutamam divim saraswati vyasam tatojayam gudihayat nashta prayesu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhavatu tamasluke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, good morning, dear devotees. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So this morning, Srimad Bhagavatam class is from Canto 2, Chapter 5, and Text 21. Okay, 2521. Kalam kama swabhavam cha mayeshu mayaya swaya atman rastishchaya praptam vibhubhushu upadate. Kalam kama swabhavam cha mayeshu mayaya swaya atman rastishchaya praptam vibhubhushu upadati kalam karma swabhavam cha mayeshu mayaya swaya atman radrishchaya pratam vibhubhushu upadati. Hare Krishna. Alright, word for word. Kalam, eternal time. Karma, the fate of the living entity. Swabhavam, nature. Cha, also. Maya, potency. Isha, the controller. Mayaya, by the energy. Swaya, of his own. Atman, atmani, unto himself. Radishchaya, independently. Praptam, being merged in. Vibhubhushu, appearing differently. Upadade, accepted for being created again. Translation by Zubangris A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By his own potency, the Lord, who is the controller of all energies, thus creates eternal time, the fate of all living entities, and their particular nature for which they were created. And he again merges them independently. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The creation of the material world, wherein the conditioned souls are allowed to act subordinately by the Supreme Lord, takes place again and again after being repeatedly annihilated. The material creation is something like a cloud in the unlimited sky. The real sky is the spiritual sky, eternally filled with the rays of Brahma Jyoti. And a portion of this unlimited sky is covered by the Mahatattva cloud of the material creation, in which the conditioned souls who want to lord it against the will of the Lord are put into play as they desire under the control of the Lord by the agency of his external energy. As the rainy season appears and disappears regularly, the creation takes place and is again annihilated under the control of the Lord, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 19. So the creation and annihilation of the material worlds is a regular action of the Lord, just to allow the conditioned souls to play as they like and thereby create their own fate of being differently created again in terms of their independent desires at the time of annihilation. The creation, therefore, takes place at a historical date, as we are accustomed to think of everything which has a beginning in our tiny experience. The process of creation and annihilation is called anadi, or without reference to date regarding the time the creation first took place. Because the duration of even a partial creation is 8,640,000,000 years. The law of creation is, however, as mentioned in the Vedic literatures, that it is created at certain intervals, and is again annihilated by the will of the Lord. The whole material or even the spiritual creation is a manifestation of the energy of the Lord, just as the light and heat of a fire are different manifestations of the fire's energy. The Lord therefore exists in his impersonal form by such expansion of energy, and the complete creation rests on his impersonal feature. Nonetheless, he keeps himself distinct from such creation as the Purnam or complete. And so no one should wrongly think that his personal feature is not existent due to his unlimited impersonal expansions. The impersonal expansions are a manifestation of his energy, and he is always in his personal feature, despite his innumerable unlimited expansions of impersonal energies. Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 5 through 7. For human intelligence, it is very difficult to conceive how the whole creation rests on his expansion of energy. But the Lord has given a very good example in the Bhagavad Gita. It is said that although the air and the atoms rest within the huge expansion of the sky, which is like the resting reservoir of everything materially created, still the sky remains separate and unaffected. Similarly, although the Supreme Lord maintains everything created by his expansion of energy, he always remains separate. This is accepted even by Shankaracharya, the great advocate of the impersonal form of the Absolute. He says, Narayana Paro Vyaktat, or Narayan exists separately, apart from the impersonal creative energy. The whole creation thus merges within the body of transcendental Narayan at the time of annihilation, and the creation emanates from his body again with the same unchanging categories of fate and individual nature. The individual living entities, being parts and parcels of the Lord, are sometimes described as Atma because they are qualitatively one with him in spiritual constitution. But because such living entities are apt to be attracted to the material creation, actively and subjectively, they are therefore different from the Lord. Oma Genati Bidandasya, Gana Gena Shavakaya, Chakshu Om Militam Gena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam, Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shicha, Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tansajivam. Sadvaitam Savadutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sicha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamani Hari Priye Vanchakapatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhi Eva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivacharya Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padaya De Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurati Jai Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himabhya Deva Chavishundaraya Tasme Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. The English translation again is, by his own potency, the Lord who is controller of all energies thus creates eternal time, the fate of all living entities, and their particular nature for which they were created. And he again merges them independently. Hare Krishna. So this is part of the answer being given to Narada Muni by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was answering Narada Muni's questions, and it can be broken down into two main questions. First, the answer here clearly can help us to figure out what the question is. He wanted to know about the material energy, the creation, the material energy. So this part, Lord Brahma is explaining. But Narada Muni also noticed that Lord Brahma seemed to be praying to a higher power. So he asked that question also. That he thought, you know, Lord Brahma, my father, you are the topmost in this creation, in this universe, but you seem to be meditating on a higher power. Is there a higher power? He asked about that also, which Lord Brahma explained that, yes, there's a supreme power. And of course, we mentioned Narayan, Krishna. But in this particular part of Lord Brahma's answer, he talks about the potency of the Lord. And the Lord is controller of all energies. Everything in the material world and spiritual world is broken down to Krishna's internal energy and his external energy, separated energy. Antaranga Shakti and Bahiranga Shakti, those two. Of course, we are in the situation where we're making a choice as to whether we'll stay with the external energy or the internal energy. Therefore, we are border between the two, or Tatastha Shakti. That's for human beings. So that's our situation. Of course, if we choose the material energy, then we go through a lot of suffering, a lot of needless hard work. And if we choose to stay with the internal energy, then we are very much made happy because we resort to devotional service, bhakti, connect to Krishna. So Krishna's potency, Lord Brahma is explaining about the material world, he creates eternal time and the fate of all living entities and their particular nature. So the fate of living entities are put into 8,400,000 types of bodies. And the fate determines the type of body that a living entity gets. Their desire is connected to the fate. What happens to them? And Lord Brahma is talking about that creation, for the creation of the planets, but also that comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. And the fate of the living entities also are based on what they want to do in the material world. If they still want to stay in the material world, that's also part of it. It's all connected. So they get created, but also they get annihilated. So living entities are there for a while, and then the destruction, the annihilation of the planets happen. Now, first, Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport that the material creation is something like a cloud in the unlimited sky. So it's been explained to us that those who are in the spiritual world see the Mahatattva like a cloud. Like a cloud. So that is, gives us some sense of, you know, how things are, because we're used to these material clouds here too. So it's like that. They don't play any part in it. Those in the spiritual world, that is. But those that want to, lord it over material nature, want to be the topmost, or challenging Krishna's authority, then, you know, all right, so you want to be a boss too, then you go to the material world and play your boss ideas there. So the Mahatattvas wear that is the covering. And it is one quarter in volume compared to the entire spiritual sky. It's one quarter material. So the spiritual sky is three quarters or three times bigger. Three times as big compared to the Mahatattva. So the conditioned souls who want to lord it against the will of the world, they go into this external energy which appears as Mahatattva. So Srila Prabhupada describes it very, very nicely. You know, there's like there's rainy season at that time, you know, the rains appears, and after a while the season is gone. So in the same way there is creation, and then there's annihilation. Using the Mahatattva, there's creation, and then there's annihilation by the Lord. After a period of time where the living entities play whatever role that they want to play, you know, acting like they are bosses themselves. Now, when we talk about this particular planet that we're in, and people here in the world trying to play boss, at all levels, all the way up to international level, this is going on. This is going on. And because everybody wants to be topmost, some people try to step over others to try to achieve a higher position. And at the international level, then disputes become somewhere. If it's not settled, then unfortunately the military of both sides step in, and then there's wars, and then people suffer. So this is going on. Because people want to be the topmost. And history tells us that there have been different kingdoms, and after a while, those kingdoms go down. Or sometimes they're called empires, depending on how many countries that a particular person who's a warrior is able to conquer and come put under their jurisdiction. Everybody's trying to play God. But that is a source of problems for all of us. Srila Prabhupada goes into a little bit more about the creation itself. But in one place he quotes 8,640,000,000 years. In Lord Brahma's day, 12 hours. In 12 hours, that total time is 4,320,000,000 years. Now it's inconceivable to us. That's 12 hours of Lord Brahma's time. And so that time is when the living entities are out doing whatever they want to do. Now, for many living entities, they will go through several lifetimes within this period, because many people live shorter than 4,320,000,000 years. So in Kali Yuga, we have, you know, very, 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 very short time compared to that, because we're only 100 years. But in the heavenly planets, and some of the demigods go up millions of years, they can live like that. Even millions of years is short compared to 4 billion years. Because a billion is 1,000,000,000. 1,000,000,000 taking 1,000 times is 1 billion. And there's 4 of them. And another 320,000,000 years added for just 12 hours of Lord Brahma's time. So this daytime's like that, and then at night also, another 12 hours. And that's where there is partial destruction. So from Lord Brahma's day, when there's creation, to the time that there's destruction, and then Lord Brahma wakes up and recreates, that totals 8,640,000,000 years. So what happens? Alright, well, we know the planetary systems here, if you've heard about it before, the planetary systems, 14 planetary systems in this particular universe for our Lord Brahma, four-headed Lord Brahma. And so, that is 12 hours, and we go through whatever changes, whatever desires. And the desires carry us to any one of those 8,400,000 type bodies. Now, only 400,000 of them are human. The rest are all non-human. And so the human body is an escape body. It's the one with the highest intelligence, the one that we're able to figure out if we're having trouble, and we realize that we're really having trouble, because some people are still blind to that. Struggling in the material world can ask the questions, what's going to happen to me in my next life? Why am I here? Why is there so much suffering? Even if it's not affecting me directly, I see it affecting other people. And it's a very, very difficult situation. Where I'm living, there may not be wars, any war, but other parts of the same planet, there are wars going on, and people are suffering. They can't go to school, they cannot, even their homes, sometimes their homes get destroyed, and they have to go live in some tent somewhere. Not sure how they're going to live, how they're going to be. All conveniences are gone. It's a very difficult situation to be in. But people still stay. We have to kind of manage here. We have to manage here. And then take another birth. So it is, in fact, difficult to be in the material world. That's why it's been said that from Brahmaloka down to Pataloka, the lowest of the hellish planets, they are all places of suffering. There is birth, there's death, there's old age, and there's disease. Anyway, in Lord Brahma's time, the daytime, there's 1,000 of the yuga cycles. Yuga cycles are called Divya Yuga. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So they are total, the times for those four ages is 4,320,000 years. This is a Divya Yuga. Satya Yuga, of that amount, 4.32 million years, Satya Yuga, I'll get to a few numbers if you don't mind, Satya Yuga lasts 1,720,000 years. That's the longest. 1,720,000 years. There's more mode of goodness at that time. A lot of people are pious. There's meditation. This is the way in which the Yuga Dharma plays out. There's meditation. And people live to be 100,000 years. Treta Yuga is 1,296,000 years. It's also quite long. People live to be not 100,000, but 1/10 of it, 10,000 years. A little bit more of Maya steps in at that time. People are not as, they're still quite in the mode of goodness, but you know, there is some degradation. Dwapara Yuga lasts 864,000 years. Dwapara Yuga, people live to be 1,000. And in Kali Yuga, people live to 100. It's a year that we're in, and the age that we're in, 432,000 years. So if you add all of that, 1.728 million, 1.296 million, 0.864 million, and 0.432 million, if you actually put it on the calculator, it comes to 4,320,000 years. Now, that 4,320,000 years, 1,000 of those cycles, 1,000 times, when they go around 1,000 times, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, 1,000 times, that's 12 hours of Lord Brahma's time. Only 12 hours of his time. So, I did a little calculation of that to get a sense of how Lord Brahma's time compared to us. 1 minute of Lord Brahma's time is 6 million of our years. 6 million. Lord Brahma is then only a minute for the 6 million years. So, solar years are pretty short compared to the way Lord Brahma's time unfolds. Or another way of looking at it, one Divya Yuga, when we go through Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, you go through those years, 4,320,000 years. That's a little less than 3/4 of a minute of Lord Brahma's time. When we go to that Divya cycle, It's actually 0.72, which is a little less than 3/4. Mm-hmm. So we live really short. This 100 years, very, 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 very short. But it is time enough for us to take advantage of going back to the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. So this, they're talking about spiritual a little later, but there's some interesting pastimes now that connects to actually what I talked about 2 weeks back, and I really wasn't able to finish it well. And I'll get to that when I live, but I'll describe it a little more. But it's an interesting thing, still connected with Lord Brahma. Mm-hmm. So, daytime for Lord Brahma, and then nighttime for Lord Brahma. Daytime, the planets are there, the 14 planetary systems. But at nighttime, when Lord Brahma goes to sleep, of course, he's in Brahmaloka. Hmm? There's destruction, but he is in Brahmaloka. So Brahmaloka is not destroyed at night when he goes to sleep. There are 3 more planets apart from Brahmaloka that are not destroyed. So on the 14th planetary system, there's 4 planets, which are Mahaloka, Janaloka, and then Tapaloka and Brahmaloka. So Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, and Brahmaloka, or it's also called Satyaloka. Those don't get destroyed in those years where Lord Brahma, years to us, and those hours the Lord Brahma goes to sleep. But when those planets below Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka, they get destroyed at night, what happens to those souls? Now, the universe is still there, but some planets are destroyed. All of the hellish planets, all of the medium planets, and up to where Lord Indra is, they all get destroyed. They all get destroyed. So that is Swagaloka. Mm? Swagaloka also gets destroyed. Along with Lord Indra, they all gone. And these 4 planets, then the higher planets, they are still there. Now, at the time of destruction, the souls from the lower planets, lower than those 4, they go into the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lives in Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is actually Brahma's father. He is the one that of whom the lotus stem came out, Lord Brahma was born. So those souls stay in Brahma's night with Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then the daytime comes, then they are reborn to continue to live out their karma. So that's how this is set up. So Garbhodakshaya Vishnu still plays a role every night, every Brahma's night, not every night, every Brahma's night, for 4,320,000,000 years. The souls that are in the Brahma's planet and only Brahma's planet for that particular, the Brahma's universe, that particular universe, they go into the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Mm-hmm. And in the daytime, Lord Brahma builds those others, that the 4, the heavenly planets, they stay, but the other ones get, when the Lord Brahma puts them into, builds them back up, and people go back, and all the entities go back into those, and life continues from there. Mm-hmm. So, in the part of this purport, Srila Prabhupada quoted Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 19, which is, Bhutagrama sa evayam, bhutva bhutva praliyate. Especially bhutva bhutva praliyate. Srila Prabhupada in his lectures has said that so many times, because it means repeatedly taking birth and then getting annihilated again. So that cycle. Ratyagame vashaparta prabhavatyahar agame. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. So this is what goes on. So actually, many of the sages that are in the other planets, different from these four planets, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, and Satyaloka, when that time for Lord Brahma's night is coming, they will go to those four planets. They actually migrate and go there because they have the mystic cities to be able to go to that place. If they don't leave their bodies, that's where they go for that night. And then the time comes, and then of course it's daytime, and we go on. And Lord Brahma just recreates the rest of the universe. And again, people are in the material where they come. Now, the destruction of the material world, even the partial destruction, takes place with first fire. A lot of fire. Fire burns everything. Fire charges, we know. Everything goes to ashes, right? So everything is burned. And then, after that, there's downpour of water. And the water just soaks up everything. So it's first fire burning everything, and then water, and then that's how the annihilation is gone. So all the physical bodies, they're all gone. But both the mental or the subtle bodies and the souls, they go into the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu for the period of time where Lord Brahma's night is occurring. And then the next day, life goes on again. But if we don't want any of that, then of course there's Krishna's superior energy, which is always there. Parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyakta sanatana. Yasasaveshu bhuteshu nashyasu na vinashati. There's another unmanifest nature that is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world, in the material world, is annihilated, that part remains as it is. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that's where we're being directed to. So we don't have to go through this birth, death, and all kinds of suffering. That's Krishna's superior energy. It is transcendental and eternal. Now, the material world, of course, its creation and sustenance and annihilation all happened within the period of time. We've mentioned some of the years. Lord Brahma himself lives to 300 trillion years and 40 billion years. His daytime is 12 hours. We talked about another 12 hours series, day and night is 8,640,000,000 years. So all of this is going on. Definitely time plays a great role in all of this. And time is from Krishna. Krishna is time. But in the spiritual world, that sense of time is not there. Everything is permanent. Everything is like that. It's always there. There was one devotee that told me, she's Mataji. Her husband is not a devotee. And she said there's, the husband wants one question answered about God. How did God come to be? Of course, Lord Brahma says, Anadi Adi Govinda. Krishna doesn't have a beginning. But in his small mind, he's trying to figure out if anything that exists has a beginning. But that's from a material sense. That's from a material sense. The timelessness is difficult for material people to imagine that there's something called that is timeless. But the spiritual world is like that. It's timeless. Material world, we have to deal with things, you know, events happening at certain times. But not like that in the spiritual world. So Krishna doesn't have a beginning, and neither do our souls that we have here, which are the, you know, the real persons, have beginning. They don't. And so, if we can't wrap our mind, how can that be? Well, it's like the analogy of Srila Prabhupada says, it's Dr. Frog philosophy. The frog was living in a well, and the well was so big, so, you know, And he thought everything about the world, his world, was in not well. That was the experience that he had. Until another frog, or sometimes they say his children, saw the ocean. And they came back and told their father, this is a huge expanse of water. And the frog simply could not, the father frog could not figure out from his limited mind how that could possibly be, that a big ocean is there. And so he was trying to compare, is it like, it's big, twice as big as this well, four times big, 10 times? He said, no, it's way bigger. So there are many things that are in the spiritual world that we find difficult to wrap our minds around. And one of them is time. It's timeless in the spiritual world. Like that. And also, of course, there's so many things that happen in the spiritual world that we think here is normal, but it's opposite to us. For example, Krishna in the Parakiya Ras, the Parakiya Ras, where he is associating with gopis. The gopis are married. Here, in Vrindavan in India, like that. They have their husbands, but then they are girlfriends to Krishna. They are girlfriends to Krishna. And people find that, well, that's not the right thing to do. Somebody is married and that married woman goes to Krishna. But actually that is considered the most wonderful relationship of conjugal affairs between Krishna and the gopis. Here, it is taboo. We can't do that. It's frowned upon. But there, it is the highest relationship with Krishna. So, we are living a perverted type lifestyle, and having accepted it and think that since we are criminals, so there should be laws as to you can do this, you cannot do this, you can do this, you cannot do this. But the Lord is above all of that. And so for his pastimes, in any way that he sets it out, he actually can have his pastimes as he likes. As he likes. And so that is the difference between living the spiritual life and in the spiritual world and what it is here. So for here, we are having our bhakti yoga as preparation. Turning to love Krishna again and to go back to the spiritual world by the instructions of a spiritual master. Lord Brahma's prayers in Brahma Samhita, that's one that's very, very nice. And then, of course, he describes Lord as Govinda. Yasya Prabha Pavavato Jagananda Guti Kotya Shesha Vasudadi Vibhuti Vinam Tad Brahma Niskalam Anantam Ashesha Bhutam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in Upanishads. So Lord Brahma says first, the effulgence of the Lord is actually the effulgence that gives the whole brilliance to the spiritual world also. But it is called Brahman, the non-differentiated Brahman. Brahman is him also. And he continues that it is differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe. Why? Because the mundane universe is material, Brahma Jyoti is spiritual. And for that matter, there's a difference. So this is differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe. And the Lord appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. So this is wonderful ways where Lord Brahma is describing Govinda, the primeval Lord. So Lord Brahma's description given to Narada is about the material world, and there's also a very nice pastime of Radha and Krishna here that happened here. Of course, we're going to talk about Vrindavan. We're talking about Vrindavan in this material world on this particular earth. That's in the Garga Samhita. The Garga Samhita book itself is called Krishna's Planet. In Gaga Samhita, first canto, so it's like the Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 15. So it connects, it's Krishna's pastimes, but some connects to Lord Brahma also. And that was the part that last time I was actually trying to get to, but actually it didn't really fit the whole scheme properly. So this time we'll tell the whole pastime so that you see how the whole thing fits in, and then you can, it was the wrong time to bring it up, but this time we'll tell the whole story. So Garga Muni was called to Vrindavan for the naming ceremony of the two boys, transcendental boys, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Garga Muni was requested by Nanda Maharaj to give the name of the personalities of Godhead. And Nanda Muni agreed, but he said we should go to a secluded place. So they went to the cowshed. So it was five personalities. Nanda, Yashoda, so Nanda and his wife, Garga Muni, and then the two boys. Five. They went to a secluded place in the cowshed. Then, that's the place Garga Muni performed the name-giving ceremony. So he started chanting some mantras, and then he started the naming. He started with Balaram. Ram, part of it, is finding happiness. The yogis find happiness, Ramante, in Balaram. He's also the greatest enjoyer, Ramati. And then he has transcendental qualities, and he uses that to delight his devotees. Ramayati. So Ram is Ramante, yogis finding happiness. Ramati, greatest enjoyer, and the one who delights the devotees. Ramayati. And he was also pulled from the womb of Yashoda through Rohini. So for that reason, he's called Sankarshan. Of course, there's other reasons why he's also called Sankarshan, the support of the worlds and so on. That's also there. But at that part, Garga Muni just described this. Then he came to giving the name Krishna. And for Krishna, he actually went through the letters that make Krishna's name, K-R-S-N-A, and described each one of them. So he says that his name at once purifies living entities, and we know purification is coming from a chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Garga Muni said that K stands for Kamala Kanta. K is for Kamala Kanta, the husband of the goddess of fortune. That's Krishna's first letter. R stands for Rama, supreme enjoyer. So K is for Kamala Kanta, R is for Rama. S stands for the master of the six opulences. S stands for Sadguna Pati. Sadguna, six opulences. So that's one definition of it for S. But also S is for one who resides in Svetadvip. Svetadvip, Nivasa Krit. Sadguna Pati is for S, for Krishna. Or Svetadvip, resident. Nivasa Krit. N stands for Nishringa. Nishringa. Lord that's half man, half lion. And A stands for Akshara, the immortal. The immortal. So that's Krishna's K-R-S-N-A names. K for Kamala Kanta, R for Rama, S for Sadguna Pati, N for Nishringa, and A for Akshara. So he named them so nicely, and then when he finished, this is Garga Muni, then He left. He described a few more things, but the devotees know already. He comes at the end of Dwapar Yuga and one of the Divya Yugas, one of the thousand Divya Yugas in Lord Brahma's time. Towards the end of the Dwapar Yuga and the beginning of Kali Yuga, he has a dark compressed complexion. He's also named Krishna for being the dark complexion. Then he also explained what Vasudev meant. Vasudev. He said the Vasu, word Vasu means the senses, and Deva means the heart. So Vasu is the senses, Deva means the heart. And the reason Krishna is called Vasudev, because his father is Vasudev, but Vasudev is Krishna. And he acts, Vasu means senses, Deva means the heart, in this case. And Kagamuni says, because he acts in the hearts and the senses of the living entities. He acts in the heart and the senses of the living entities. And we know he acts as Paramatma in our hearts. The hearts controlled Paramatma to the intelligence and to the mind, which connects to the senses. So Krishna is known as Vasudev for that reason. When Kagamuni was done naming Krishna and Balaram, then he left and went to King Vishavanu's palace, which is also on the side of the Jamuna. So, when he went there, he was received very, very nicely by Vishavanu and his wife. So they were very, 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 very happy to see him. They just, and at the time, Radharani was there as a baby. So Vishavanu asked Kagamuni a question. He says, "Oh sage, my daughter's name is Radhika, and she is the abode of great auspiciousness." Then Vishavanu asks Kagamuni, "Who should I give my daughter to her in marriage later? Please tell me your opinion. It's because I wish to give my daughter to a splendid husband who would be like her equal." They could sense that Radharani was special. But they didn't know what was going on, really. And so when that question was asked, of course, Krishna just causes his pure devotees to act wonderfully in his pastimes. So Kagamuni took Vishavanu's hand and says, "Let's go to a secluded place because there's more to this that I have to tell you." So Kagamuni and Vishavanu went to a secluded place in the shore of the Jamuna. And after Vishavanu was made to sit down by Kagamuni, since he's going to review quite a bit, then Kagamuni said, "This is supposed to be a secret, Vishavanu. That's the first thing before I tell you. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the King of Goloka, greater than the greatest, and the Lord, than whom, you know, he's better than anyone else. He has taken birth in Nanda's home, your friend Nanda, so that's where Krishna is." Now, as soon as he said that, Vishvamitra says, "How fortunate for Nanda. Please tell everything why Krishna has come." Kagamuni said, "All right, in one sentence, he's coming to remove the earth's burden and kill the demons headed by Kamsa. The demigod Lord Brahma requested that. So Krishna is taking birth. This is the external reason he's coming to do that." Now, then he said to Vishavanu, "Sri Radhika, your daughter, is actually the chief queen, the head of the gopis in Goloka, and you don't quite understand her exalted position." And this actually surprised Vishavanu. So Vishavanu sent for his wife. He said, come hear this. So when the wife came now, so they went there, the three of them. And Vishavanu said, "Thank you for telling me this, O Brahmana. I will give my lotus-eyed daughter to Krishna. You have revealed this, and so since you've revealed this, when the time comes, can you come perform the wedding ceremony?" Kagamuni says, O king, I will not perform the wedding ceremony. The wedding is actually arranged to be at Bandiravan in Yamuna Shore, and the demigod Brahma, he'll come and perform this wedding ceremony. Okay, so this was arranged. This is how Brahma connects to this. And then he also revealed one more thing. He says, all of you gopas, cowmen, you've come from Goloka. You're also from there. And by Sri Radhika's wish, this daughter of yours, the cows and the gopis have also come from Goloka. So this is your own background. So now, Kagamuni said this, and he was very, 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 very happy. He actually explained Radha's name too. Radha's name, the R stands for Rama, the goddess of fortune. Rama. The A stands for Adi Gopika. Adi Gopika. Adi means first. First of the gopis. And DH together stands for Dhara. Dhara means the earth. And then the last letter, Adi, stands for Viraj Nadi, the Viraj River. So R is for Rama, A is for Adi Gopika, DH is Dhara, and A stands for Viraja, Viraja, to expressing the A from the Viraja, the Viraja Nadi, the Viraja River, which is the border between, did you cross before you get to the spiritual world. So, King Vishvabhanu and his wife became filled with so much wonder and bliss and tears in their eyes. They congratulated, they thanked the Bishop, thanked Kagamuni. So Kagamuni left. Now fast forward to chapter 16, we'll tell a short version of that one. So one day, Nanda went to deal with the cows. He had Krishna with them as an infant son. He was holding Krishna in his arms. And he went to Bandiravan. But as he was there, by Krishna's wish, the sky became filled with clouds, and then a strong wind, very fearful type wind, started blowing. And that disturbed Nanda very much. He had Krishna with him. And Krishna, through Yogamaya, acted, you know, he was very frightened because of this. So Krishna, Nanda didn't know what to do. So he held Krishna even more tightly, and then start praying to Lord Hari. That's the Buddhists would do when something is, you know, unusual happens. But then, through the prayer, this changed the weather, and then it became very bright. Millions of suns brightness. It just converged on him from all directions. And then, through that, Nanda Maharaj saw Vishvabhanu's daughter, Radha. Full Radha, not baby, this is a full, you know, Radha teen looking, wonderfully dressed, they came, and Nanda Bhavan offered obeisances, and then he said, I know about you, you are the consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Kagamuni has told me this. You are the first beloved of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, I know the secret from the mouth of Kagamuni. So you please take the Lord, your Lord, from my arms. So he was just telling that Radharani should take the young toddler type Krishna from his arms. And so Radharani took Krishna. Nanda left, offering obeisances, he left, and Radharani and baby Krishna went to the Bandira forest, or the Bandiravan forest. When he got there, things changed totally. Two things. Krishna didn't become a baby anymore. Krishna became manifested into his youth form. So now, they're both youthful, both Radha and Krishna. And the grounds of the spiritual world came. That is, Goloka grounds came. And it is extremely beautiful. It's many jewels, rubies, you name it. The Yamuna Shore had become a place with golden palaces and jeweled steps. So many decorations with the oil all over the place. Now, to go around that area now, Bandino Forest was looking like just like Golokovanam. Now, remember, Vishvamanu had asked Gargamuni who that he should give her daughter to, and Gargamuni said, if you give to Krishna. So now they were both gone, Radha and Krishna were together, and Krishna took Radha's hand to a place that's set up in this wonderful Golok Vrindavan environment now, that's in the Bandiravan forest. And they sat on a nice throne, the two of them, and what happened was Lord Brahma, the best of demigods, now came from the sky, and he bowed before Krishna with folded arms, and then he began to speak. And when Lord Brahma began to speak, that was the prayer that last time I was talking to you about. I take shelter of you, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chandra, without beginning, the beginning of everything. You're affectionate to your devotees, you're the master of countless universes, you're greater than the greatest, and you're also the husband of Radha. Remember, they were getting ready to get married then. So then Lord Brahma called Radha the wife. You are Krishna, the husband of Radha. He said, you're the playful king of Golok, and she's your playful companion. When you're king of Vaikuntha, this Radha, the daughter of Vishvamanu, is Lakshmi. He says, when Lord Brahma is praying to them like that, in front of them, when you're Ramachandra, she's Janak's daughter Sita. When you're Lord Hari, she's Kamala. When you're Yagya Avatar, she's Dakshin, the best of wives. When you're Shinga, she's Rama. And when you're Narayani Rishi, she becomes Shanti, and follows you where you go, wherever you go, like a shadow. And then comes the material world. When you're Brahman, well, still, the Brahman fortune. When you're Brahman, she's Prakriti. And when you're time, Lord Brahma said, the wise know that she is Pradhan. And when you are the Mahatattva, from which the universes have sprouted, this is not a material world, then Radha becomes the potency Maya, filled with the three modes. And when you become the four things in the heart, the four things in the heart are the soul is in the heart, the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. Four things in the heart. Radha then becomes the power to understand something from a hint, how the intelligence works. And when you become the universal form, then Radha becomes the earth. So he said, I take shelter of you. This is how he ended. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're greater than the greatest. You're the master of Golokadam. And now you're appearing as a fair and dark splendor, which is Krishna's color. So after that, then Brahma started the sacred fire and performed the wedding ceremony. Chanted mantras, and then he took Radhika's hand and placed it on Krishna's chest, and took Krishna's hand and placed it on Radhika's back, and he started even more mantras. And then when he finished the whole ceremony, then Lord Brahma had them bow before the sacred fire. And then he put them back on the thrones. And then he asked them, all right, so he performed this wonderful wedding ceremony for us. What is the dakshin? What should we give you? Lord Brahma says, all I want is to be able to have devotional service at your lotus feet, to always remember you and serve you devotionally. They said, so be it. The Lord Brahma left. And now, what happened? Krishna and Radha were married, and they started going to different parts of the different forests, the Vrindavan forest, Govardhan Hill, all decorated. It's all now looking like what it is in the spiritual world. And they enjoyed so many pastimes. They had a Rasa dance there. And the way it ended was quite interesting. It got to a point after they really, really roamed to different parts of Vrindavan, now converted to Golok Vrindavan, just looking like that. Then it got to a place where Krishna started decorating Radha. with different petals of flowers and so on. And he decorated that Radha look even more beautiful. And Radha wanted to return the favor. But when Radha was about to decorate him, Krishna suddenly abandoned the teenage form and became the little child that Radharani got from Nanda Maharaj the first time. And that surprised Radha, and Radha said, why are you doing that? Why do you show this illusion to me? And so Radha became very despondent, started weeping, but then a voice from the sky said, oh Radha, don't lament. That time will come when your desire will be fulfilled. So don't worry about this. In the meantime, this is time to go back. You've had this wedding. Nobody knows in Vrindavan that this is taking place. So Radha then took Lord Hari and Krishna as the baby form now and went to the home of Nanda Maharaj. And he saw, and she saw Yashoda and told her, Mataji, your wife, I mean, sorry, your husband gave Krishna to me on this path. So please take her back, or take him back. And Nanda's wife, Yashoda, said, Nanda, thank you very much. I know the sky was covered with clouds and my child became frightened. I heard all of that from my husband, and you have protected him. So this is how Mother Yashoda put it. So then Mother Yashoda took Krishna back as a baby. But then they went to this wonderful wedding without people not knowing, not with the people in Vrindavan not knowing what was really going on. So anyway, so this is the pastime. The Gagga Muni getting involved in it. So Brahma is the one that officiated that wedding of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, as the Vrindavan on the earth changed to Golok Vrindavan. So Brahma's pastimes are wonderful. He's describing, of course, in this case, in this text, the material energy and how it plays such a role. But Lord Brahma also sometimes gets pulled into wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna, as we may be also able to do if we make it back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. Bala is for strength, spiritual strength. Yeah. But, Nanda Maharaj, I mean, I'll get to that. So, Gaga Muni described, he didn't do letters like the way he did Krishna. Yeah. He did not do letters for Balaram. No. He didn't. Yeah. He did strength, and he also, talked about Ramiti. I described it earlier to you. Do you want me to go over that again? Okay. All right. I'm looking. I have notes for it, and I just want to pull that too. Yeah. I see. Ramante. Okay. Ramante, yogis find happiness in him. That's Ramante. R-A-M-A-N-T-E. Ramati, R-A-M-A-T-I. That is, he's the greatest enjoyer. Mm-hmm. And then his transcendental qualities. He delights the devotees with his transcendental qualities. And that is the first A has a thing on it. Ramayati. R-A-M-A-Y-A-T-I. Ramayati. And those are the three that he gave to, in the name of Germany. But when he came to Krishna, then he described K-R-S-N-A and what they mean all the time. Mm-hmm. The souls that are away from the four heavenly planets, which I talked about, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, and Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, those don't get destroyed in Brahma's night. Yeah, those souls, the rest of them below, from Swargaloka and down to Pataloka, it's basically what it is. Swargaloka down to Pataloka. Those souls lose their bodies, their physical bodies, and then they are merged into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Brahma's father. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When Brahma dies, then the entire, this is after his 100 years, then all the planets, then everything is dissolved. Now it's going to Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Yeah. But the daily ones that Lord Brahma goes to sleep and partial of the universe gets destroyed, those souls in there, that can't get away from there, because there's some high level souls too that also go to those four planets. But those that, the majority of those from Swargaloka down to Pataloka, they go and they are kept by Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Yes, when he was asked to. But see, the thing is, the living entities that are connected with Krishna, everybody is, but those who are aware of it, that is those who are not just trying to enjoy the material world, when they come on the Yoga Maya, at any time, they can be given the memory of Krishna or not, depending on the pastime and how it unfolds. Especially in the case where Krishna and Kaliya, the pastime of Krishna and Kaliya, when Krishna danced on Kaliya's hoods and Kaliya was actually literally dying. In the meantime, the demigods were supplying the music and Kaliya was suffering. The Nagapatnis came and Nagapatnis praised Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many, in Krishna's 10th canto, so many things they said about Krishna, but the cowherd boys and Mother Yashoda, they were all there. They were all there. And still, they were only concerned about how Krishna almost got killed and they themselves fainted and all of that. Just give me my little boy back is all that, Yashoda was thinking. While the Nagapatnis started praising Krishna so much as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In one sense, then, the Mother Yashoda them were still covered with by Yogamaya and they were thinking of Krishna as, my son, okay, my son is now dancing wonderfully and now, he's not hurt, but still it's dangerous because he's still dealing with a snake. And the snake is trying to bite him. So, at any time, the point we're making is at any time, Yogamaya can change the mentality of whoever is being affected so that Krishna's pastime can unfold the way Krishna wants it to unfold. And sometimes they would realize he's the personality of Godhead. Another time, he is still the personality of Godhead at all times, but then they don't remember. They just, Yeah, but that's the wedding performance was first, because that's was when both of them were fairly young, but Radharani just came back from the spiritual world, revealed himself as a youth to Nanda Maharaj, and then the whole thing got unfolded, and they brought Lord Brahma to come do the officiating. Okay. They have that, to remember, But this is the first time actually how it unfolds. Hare Krishna. I know we went back and forth quite a bit. Are there any other devotees that want to chime in and ask some questions? I don't know the past time of the marriage to Abhimanyu or Radharani and Abhimanyu. I haven't found the details on that one yet. But, we'll see if I find it. But people say, oh, it's so-called husband of Radharani. So-called husband of Radharani. It's Abhimanyu. Yeah, that's another pastime. I know some pastime connected with it, but not off the top of my head, yes, but not the wedding itself. Not the marriage itself. To Abhimanyu. I've seen that not from the book Christmas Planet, that's not in there. I don't know whether Gargamuni actually mentioned that Abhimanyu Radharani wedding, but this was one that Radha and Krishna got married to. That he definitely talked about. Shankaracharya does not get into detail about the personal form of the Lord. He doesn't. He spends more time talking about the impersonal form of the Lord. Only because those who are listening are interested in the impersonal form of the Lord. Usually, even right through all religions, it's like that. The Lord actually arranges for a personality to tell anyone in the material world based on where they want to get to, or they're comfortable with understanding Him. They have an acharya that comes to tell them something like this. That goes for Christianity. That goes for Islam. That goes for Buddhism. All of them. So, basically, those who are interested in knowing God up to a certain point, then, you know, the Lord arranges for the personality to come to teach at that level. And that's exactly what Shankaracharya did. It's the impersonal, because the impersonal form of the Absolute sits well, for lack of a better word, with those who are Shankaras, you know, following Him. So then it happens now. How many Christians want to hear about Krishna consciousness? You're going to say Jesus has saved me and that's it? So Shankaracharya did not push much, but when Srila Prabhupada especially talks about that, he quotes just a few times that Shankaracharya puts Narayan, you know, at a personal level, Narayan, Paroviyaktat, at what Srila Prabhupada quoted here. But to the Shankaras themselves, they get a huge dose of the impersonal form of the Absolute. And that's what they're interested in, and that's what they get from Shankaracharya. But Srila Prabhupada is saying, even Shankaracharya doesn't know that there is a personal form. Because Srila Prabhupada is teaching the personal forms, and he says even Shankaracharya is aware of that. Yeah, that's the point. But the Shankaras themselves, they're into the impersonal form, and that's what excites them the most. And where the audience, this thing is comfortable with. So since you've talked about family, this happens in many, many families. I know, but today we'll get to you in a minute. Just to say one of this minute. Very important. But I promise we'll get to you, David. So, there are devotees whose families have other members who are also God conscious, but they're in different religions. And that time does in fact, you know, it comes where sometimes there's been a debate. I know Bhaktivedanta Maharaj had family members like that. Some were Christian, some were Jehovah's Witnesses. And one time he said they had a debate with him. But he knew the Bible too. So he could take that and then take them to even in a higher level. And in the end, Krishna consciousness is the highest. So anyway, he won the debate hands down. He wanted to be, so if they bring it up, yes, there's personal, there's also, you know, the impersonal form, you know, if they know the impersonal form and that's what they're comfortable with. You said they can talk about the personal part, but in short, Krishna, there's nothing that he is not. So if he is impersonal, then he can also be personal. The fact that you're not connected with personal does not mean that he is not personal. You could just look at it that way, you know. Because to say something is impossible for the Lord to be, then you don't understand who God is then. You know, yeah. So there has to be a personal. But if you're not tuned into it, that's one thing. But it does not mean that Krishna cannot be personal. And that's, I'll just take the argument to that point and leave it like that. You want to know more, I'll tell you more, but there is a personal, which you're not so interested in. Yeah, please. Hare Krishna. Except mine, go to the power button. Yeah, again, so based on the desires, Krishna is like that. He's that kind of loving personality. Based on the desires, he will arrange for what you want to hear to hear. And if you want to go higher, you certainly can go higher. Those who, you know, hanker to go higher and they want to know more about the Lord, then it comes to personal level. Because you get to know that. That's why when Srila Prabhupada came to America and he started playing, and even it was the hippies that came after the intelligentsia did not want to deal with Srila Prabhupada. The hippies did, but even some of the hippies, some people were not so interested at the time when they found out the regulated principles that they'll have to live under. See, that's another thing too. When you believe a certain aspect of the Lord, it comes with a price. It comes with the change of lifestyle, and you have to be ready for that. And if you're not ready for that, then, you know, you'll fall away from that. So that's from that level. So that's also another aspect of, you know, people's decisions to stick with the Lord. But they stick with the Lord at the level they're comfortable with. And so the Lord sends someone to preach at that level to them. Even though Sankaracharya, yes, he's from Lord Shiva. It's an expansion of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is definitely one who's meditating on Balaram the whole time. Sankarshan. But if people want to hear what they want to hear, so Shankar just tells them to that extent. That's it. Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Yeah, well, Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Okay. Alright. Vanchakalpatru Vishya Kripa Sunivya Ivacha Patitana Favanevyo Vaishnavevyo No Namaha Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.